Open them, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 for our lesson together tonight. And I think instead of reading for you the entire story that is given to us here, I'd like to just recount it for you. You may want to keep your Bible open and to periodically look and follow me through this story as we bring to you this evening a question. And I trust that God will help us, because my central thought shall be found in verse 26. The question which I hope shall become personalized to everyone here tonight. And the question is this: is it well with thee? Now, I want you to notice how it was that this question came about. About 50 miles north of the city of Jerusalem, there stood the ancient city of Shunem, beautifully situated in the mountains. Little is recorded to us in the Word of God concerning this city of Shunem, nor little do we know about many of the inhabitants that lived in the city of Shunem. We do, however, know something about one of the families that lived in this little city that was nestled in the mountainside. We know something about the number in the household, for the Bible tells us there was a husband, and there was a wife, and there was a little boy. A little boy that was a gift of God, just as surely as Isaac was a gift to Abraham and to Rebekah. Rather, to Abraham and to Sarah, even so was this boy a gift unto this household. We also know something about the home life. Now, we often hear it said that if you want to know something about an individual and you have not the opportunity to talk to them personally, get acquainted with their friends. Know their closest associates. Find something out about the people that they fellowship with. And you'll be able to know something about these individuals, for we can know people by the kind of company that they keep. And if you tell me who you have chosen as your friends, I'll know something about you. Now, do you believe that's truth or is it not truth? If you'll just show me the guest list, if you'll show me all the people that signed their names in your guest book in your home in the last couple of years, I'll know something about you. Well, I happen to know something about this family that lived in this city. For the Bible tells us that oftentimes this woman of the house would look out her window and she would see the prophet of the Lord passing by. It was Elisha. And she used to say to her husband, she said, "Honey, you know, I see the prophet of the Lord passing through this part of the country on his itinerary, periodically coming and ministering in our area. Why don't we invite him into our house? Why don't we offer him a place to stay? Why don't we give him the hospitality of our home?" And so they did. And as Elisha passed by, they gave an invitation. But the Bible tells us in this story that the house that they lived in was a very small house. And so she suggested to her husband, "Why don't we build a little room, a special room for the prophet of the Lord, so he'll have a place to stay when he passes through the area. And let's put him in a bed, and let's put him in a little candlestick, and let's make him and offer him a place to be able to lodge as he's passing through the area." And the Bible says that they did. They built the first prophet's chamber. That's where you can refer all the way back. You talk about the prophet's chamber. Here you have the first record of a prophet's chamber. Thank the Lord that there are still some people that have made provisions in their house for the prophet's chamber. Now, not very many anymore. The poor preacher, if he had to itinerate and depend upon the Christians nowadays, he'd usually sleep on the park bench.
And there's no preachers to holler amen. But now let me stop and just think a minute. Hasn't there been a time when all of us were a bit more hospitable to the preacher? I'm talking about the days, you know, when the circuit rider used to pass through, or the times when the evangelists used to come to town. We never had to worry about looking up a motel because there was a dozen people that he could go stay with, and he'd eat fried chicken every day in the week. Isn't that right? But nowadays, you know, we feel like we have to have the very choices and the very best, and nobody's willing to move over anymore. We used to say, just, that's all right, come on, we've got plenty of room. Put the kids on a pallet and, you know, here and there and someplace else. I know, because I've been scooted out of my bed too many times. And some of the others of you have too. This is the attitude and the feeling of this woman. Let's make the prophet a place to dwell and live. And so they did. And this was a very hospitable thing to do. And so after these people had built the prophet's chamber, one day, Elisha called in his servant Gehazi, and he said to the servant, you go and talk to this family. They've been so kind to us. They've been so generous to us. Ask them something that they would desire to have. Ask him if there's some special favor we can do for them. Ask him if we can intercede to the king or the rulers of the land that we can show them some special favor. Gehazi suggested, the family has no children. And the mother was of age where that she should not properly be able to conceive the idea that she would be able to give birth to a child. But the prophet went and told her, now according to the time of life, as the custom is and it is the nature of things, you're going to bear a child. And the mother was thrilled. And the Bible says that just exactly what happened. According to the time of life, it was this unexpected mother gave birth to a child, and it was a son. And they were thrilled with the child that God had given them. A miracle from God. In response to the gratitude and the inspiration that had come upon the prophet Elisha. But then we all know something about the unfortunate situation that developed in this home. For the Bible says that the child grew. And one day, the child had gone with the father out into the field to work. And the child became suddenly ill and grabbed its head. And it said, oh, my head. And the father had one of the servants to pick up the child and carry it to the mother. And she laid it upon her knee. And the child rested upon the knee at about noontime, and the child died. And the mother had the child carried to the house and placed in the bed of the prophet of the Lord. And she hastened, never bowed with grief, but she laid the child in the prophet's chamber on the prophet's bed and bid some servants to come and to saddle the beast of burden. And she quickly headed to Mount Carmel to be able to find the prophet and to unburden her heart to the prophet of God. And the Bible said that Elisha saw her coming. He recognized her as a Shunammite woman. And he called his servant Gehazi and he said, go, I recognize the lady that is coming. Ask her what she wants. The Bible said the servant went out and he saw the woman and he greeted her by saying, is it well with thee? Is it well with my husband? Is it well with the child? That woman didn't take time to do too much talking to that servant because she swished right on by him and ran up to where the prophet was. And there it was, she began to intercede. And there she began to unburden her heart. And there she began to tell the my son, the son of God is given in a direct answer to prayer. He's dead. The prophet spoke to the Gehazi and said, you take my rod, and you go down and hasten. Don't wait, don't tarry, don't give any salutations. If anybody speaks to you, don't bother to speak back. Hasten to where the child is, and peradventure the child might live. And Elisha expected the woman to follow. But she wouldn't go. She interceded and she laid hold of the prophet and she said, I'm not going to let you go. She entreated him that he would go.
And because of her earnest entreaty, the Bible says that Elisha himself rose. And because of the intercession, because of the deep concern, and because of the earnestness of her prayer, Elisha went with her. And finding the child lying dead upon the bed, the Bible says that he placed his eyes upon the child's eyes, his mouth upon the child's mouth, his hands upon the child's hands, and he stretched his body over that dead child's grave. And again, he did the same thing, and he prayed. And a miracle took place. The child sneezed 7 times and then sat up in the bed. Said, now go call the mother and bring her in. The miracle has been performed. Hallelujah. Now that's the literal story that is recorded in this 4th chapter. But I'm concerned this evening about a message for us today that is contained in this particular passage. Why do you suppose that this story was placed in the Old Testament? I guess that there's a number of reasons that we could suggest tonight as to why God has given us the account of this miracle. But among other reasons is that we might understand what it means to pray in earnestness, what it means to persevere before God in prayer. Do you know what it is to pray hours in behalf of loved ones that are in need? And while this was a physical need, the greatest need that men have is not men that are dead physically, but it's men that are dead spiritually. And the sad part about it is, too few people are concerned and interested enough to lay before God hour upon hour in interceding for the salvation of a lost soul that's about to plunge into an eternity without God and without hope. We know what it is to pray by the hour. We know what it is to pray by the day. But do we know what it is to pray through the night until God answers prayer on behalf of a loved one that is lost? And this is my question to you tonight. The question that the servant asked as he saw the Shunammite woman coming. Is it well with thee? A personal question. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with your loved ones? Is it well with the child? Is it well with your family? Now listen to me. I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm not talking to the one beside you or in front of you or in back of you. I'm talking to you as if I was right in the pew and pointing my finger at you. I ask you a very solemn question. Is it well with thee? I can answer that for you. No one else can answer that for you. You have to be able to answer for yourself. Is it well with thee? The man who is rich in worldly goods, the man that is highly esteemed and honored in society, the man who has risen to some place of distinction in this world, knows that in his heart there is an ache, that money and that material possessions cannot stop. Deeper than the heart of every man, there is an aching void, and there is something that cries out and recognizes that God is the only answer to the cry of the human soul. The man whose outward life may seem to be all right knows that down deep in his heart, there is again and again a crying out to God. And the question I ask for you tonight to ponder very seriously. Is it right? Is it well with you tonight? And let me, if I may, answer that question for you, my unsaved friend tonight. I would say of assurance, it is not well with thee if you're not under the blood of Jesus Christ in this hour. And I would suggest this for at least 2 reasons. It is not well with thee because you have no strength within yourself
to be able to rise above sin. Sin is too powerful for you. You're no match for the devil. And you're no match for sin. Man, it was in the height of his physical strength, made light of a Christian who was testifying to him. A man who felt that he would have never had any need for anybody, made light and ridicule the child of God that witnessed to him. But the day came when his physical strength was strained and when his face in death was glad to cry for the Christian to come and tell me again the story that you told me some years ago about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the reason is the fact that there is too much trouble everywhere we look in this world. It's not well with thee, my unsaved friend. All the wealth of this world cannot buy the comfort when the heart is aching. Every earthly possession is never going to be able to satisfy your soul when trouble comes. A man worth $1 million said to a friend, "All of the money that I have in the banks have never, never brought me peace." One of the richest men in the city of New York some years ago said to a silent friend as he was walking down Broadway, and this poor boy looked up at his friend and he said, "My, you must be happy now. You must surely find life so rich now since you have become a multimillionaire." And he looked down at his childhood friend and said, "I have never been as happy as I was when I was working for $1 a day. Because possessions and earthly things and position never are able to satisfy the aching, crying void that's in the heart of every man. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee tonight? I'm not trying to use the standards of this world when I ask you tonight. But there comes a time when you or yourself, your loved ones or friends will fall ill and face the possibility of death. Then is it well with your soul? When those family cords that now binds and holds you together become strained, when it seems as if you're going to lose those things that are most dear to you, you're going to need Jesus. You're going to need Jesus. You're going to need to know the Lord. No, it's not well with you tonight. Sin is too strong for you. Troubles surround us on every hand. And I would tell you tonight, my friend, that you ought to turn. You ought to turn Godward. Why? Simply because God is ready for you. God has been waiting for you. God has been calling for you. All the way through the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, we have the revealed picture of God who is looking, longing, searching for mankind. Ever since the day that Adam sinned, God came down and God's call was to you to man, "Where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" That was God's call from the beginning. Near the echo at Calvary. And Jesus prayed and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." All the way through Revelation, where the sin of the bride, Saint Paul, that's God's appeal to you. That's God's call to you. That's God's voice to you. The scripture further tells us, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord." So tonight it's not a question with God as to how many times you have sinned, nor how far you have wandered, nor how black your life is, nor how helpless and how hopeless you seem to be. The only thing that God is waiting for is your response and say, "Yes, God, I need you." Oh, hallelujah. Just in that hour, you'll find him there. God wants you. Jesus calls for you. That's the personal invitation that falls from his lips tonight. Mr. Moody, one of his sermons, wrote of the Apostle John, who wrote that wonderful invitation, the book of Revelations, sending out the gospel call, said, "And the spirit of the bride say, come." But Dr. Moody said, "I can imagine Jesus saying to John, but John, they won't understand that. So make it a little plainer. And so John wrote again, "Let him that heareth say, come." But again, Mr. Moody suggested, "But they won't be able to hear. Some might not be able." And so Mr. Moody said, he was adding these words, "And let him that is athirst come." Oh, so broad the invitation has been made. So open is the heart of God. So willing is the cry of Jesus, even as he stood in that far off distant day and lifted his voice and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul." That same broad invitation goes out across the countryside tonight. When Jesus bid you come, my friend, Jesus bid you come now. Mother bid you come. That godly sainted father bid you come. All of those loved ones that have been praying for you so anxiously for so long, bid you come. All of those that have preceded you and gone before you, those are yonder enjoying the bliss of heaven's world, bid you come. All the prayers of all the saints that have gone up in your behalf, bid you come tonight. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Oh, the preacher thinks so. That's not the important thing. He said, "Well with thee?" Well, I have my wife and husband fooled. Everybody in the church thinks it is. That's not the importance. Is it really well with thee tonight? Then look again at another question. Is it well with thy husband? I don't necessarily mean the husband that sits by your side, but it could be your wife. Is it well with your wife? The question is it well with your companion? And I know when I bring this question to you, it pricks your heart. Some of you are deeply burdened for an unsaved husband or wife. You're deeply concerned because your companion has never surrendered his life or her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, have never given their life to God. Answer it. Answer it not aloud. Answer it to yourself. Is it well with thy husband? One of the saddest things in the world is that sacred thing so oftentimes divide the home. Troubles don't usually divide the home. I mean problems that come up that affect both husband and wife. There's something about trouble that oftentimes only strengthens those cords. Sickness seldom. Very seldom does sickness ever divide the home. Husband and a wife can be afflicted with an illness or sickness of some kind. So that the body is aching, and boy, it's seemingly going to nothingness. The body can become so weak and emaciated that when we hold our hands down, the wedding ring must slip beneath the finger. But that doesn't usually divide the home. It only causes that love that is there to draw closer and closer and closer. But oh, how sad it is to recognize that so oftentimes we find spiritual things divide the home. And that's the saddest thing in the world. So oftentimes the communion table comes between husband and wife. The church comes between husband and wife. Spiritual interests come between husband and wife. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with your wife? Is it well with the child? And that affects the whole family. Oh God, tonight answer some prayers. Save some unsaved husbands that are here tonight. Save some unsaved wives that are here tonight. Oh God, unite some homes and bring some children. bring in some children. There was a 97-year-old saint of God. It was coming to the close of the day. In a very, very weak voice, she spoke to her husband and said to her husband, "Honey, is it getting dark?" And the husband, recognizing and realizing that she was dying, bent over very close to his wife and said, "Yes, honey, it's getting night." Then there was a period of silence. While her mind was wondering, pretty soon she spoke again and said, "Honey," she said, "are the boys all in?" And the husband answered back and said, "Yes, yes, the boys, they're all in." And then again there was silence. She spoke very feebly and she said, "Well, I'll be in soon." Then in a few moments she waited. And then she asked another question. She said, "Honey, will you also be in? Will you soon come?" And that husband, recognizing that her moments upon this earth were just but a few, he spoke and said, "Yes, yes, I'll soon come too." And then with the last few ounces of strength that she had, she reached up those feeble hands from that bed and grasped that aging husband in her arms and drew him to herself and spoke the last word she ever spoke in this life. And she says, "Oh, thank God we're all in." And she was gone. Oh, God grant that it'll be true in your family and in mine. How many times I have said, if I preach the gospel around the world and I'm able to win multitudes to the Lord Jesus Christ and fail to reach my own family, I'll feel like I've been a failure. Is it well with thee tonight? Is it well with your family, your husband, your children? Oh, would God answer some prayer tonight in some wayward husband, some ungodly wife, some rebellious children, some teenagers that have pushed off a loving hand of mother from off your shoulder, some teenage boys that's rebelled against the instruction given by their dad and said, "I'll live my life. I'll do as I please. I'll take the consequences of the way that I live." God, wake somebody up tonight. God, stir some soul in this building. God, help us to see the importance of surrender and of dedication of our lives to Him. Oh, God, answer some prayer tonight. With somebody crying out and say, "Oh, God, for Jesus' sake, be merciful to me, a sinner." Pray. Pray. Oh, God. Oh, God. Speak to every one of us, Lord, individually. Help us to ask ourselves again, is it well with thee? Help us to ask again the question that the Holy Spirit comes. Is it well with thy husband, with thy wife? Is it well with the child? While every head is bowed and while every eye is closed and while we're preparing to sing a verse of an invitational hymn, over this congregation tonight, I'm looking for some soul that would say, "Brother Schultz, I'm afraid that things aren't well with me tonight as I stand."